Right, we will open our Bibles to Revelation 13. That's a jumping off point here. Revelation chapter 13. And we'll just read verses 16 to 18 tonight. Bible says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. All right, notice some things. First of all, about this matter of the mark of the beast. In verse 16, it says, He causeth all, small and great. That tells me that your social standing, your caste, your place in society makes no difference whatsoever. If you have not put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be duped, deceived, tricked, taken in by the Antichrist. Notice the Bible says rich and poor. Rich people, they have this idea that all poor people are stupid. And poor people have the idea that all rich people are brilliant, for the most part. And the Bible says it doesn't matter how much money you got, it doesn't matter if you got no money or if you got all the money in the world. If you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the false prophet will deceive you and the Antichrist will brand you. Then he says, free and bond. There it doesn't matter if you're in charge or you're being charged. Doesn't matter if you're ruling or you're being ruled. It doesn't matter if you are the governed or the governor. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Antichrist will get you. And now there's no reason for anybody to sit there and think, well, I'm so smart, I'm so powerful, I'm so rich, I'm so cunning, I'm so good, whatever. He's going to get you if you don't belong to Jesus Christ. That's all there is to it. He's going to get you. All. It says all. And now notice it says to receive. Important word. That tells you he's not forcing it on anybody. He has set up this deception so that men will willingly and gladly receive that thing. And we talked about that in the last lesson. To receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now you got a lot of people in right-wing movements. You got a lot of people in various religio-political movements, that sort of thing, who believe enough of the Bible, just enough to mess up their life, but not enough of the Bible to put that life back together. They believe enough of the Bible to foul them up, but they don't believe enough of the Bible to get them straightened out. They believe there will be a mark of the beast, there will be a one-world government and an Antichrist, according to the verses that we just read, but they don't believe the part that says that no matter what you do, no matter how you plan, no matter what provisions you make, no man is going to get by without being a part of his system. Now, if that says no man, it doesn't mean no man except the ones in your secret club out there in the woods hiding away. If it says no man, it means no man. That's exactly what it means. You're not going to get around that thing. You will either go up and escape it in the rapture, or you're going to go through it and you will pay the price. But you're not going to get around it. You're not going to dodge this thing. No man can get around this system. And then notice, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Then the mark of the beast is not a number. You see that? And the number is not the name. And the name is not the mark. There are three separate and distinct matters there. The beast has a mark. He also has a name. He also has a number. Now, as I told you the last time, only two of these things are of significance. The number is important, and that's why God gave it to us in the Bible. The mark is important. That's why God gave that to us in the Bible. The name, obviously, is not important. And we know that because God didn't give that to us in the Bible. So it doesn't matter trying to name the Antichrist or trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. If God wanted you to know who he was, he would have told you. He would have said, it's Michael Schlagenheimer IV, and he lives at 2847 Elm Street, Beirut, Lebanon. So he would have told you exactly who he was. But the important thing for the New Testament Christian, the New Testament church reading the Word of God, is not who he is, it's what he's up to. It's what he's going to do. Now, what's the important thing for the people left behind in the tribulation? Now, again, not who he is, but what he's going to be doing. Never mind the guy's name, just make sure he doesn't brand you on the forehead. Never mind the guy's name, just make sure he doesn't do anything to get your right hand. So we're going to stick to the important things. Now, but notice at the end of verse 17, this number is the number of his name. The number of his name. Whether you like it or not, you have a number. You may not like it, you may not use it, you may not agree with it, you may try and get away from it, but they gave you a number when you were born. And that number is not your name, and your name is not that number, but as long as you live and breathe on this earth, short of Jesus Christ coming again and destroying the whole system, you're going to be stuck with that number. Now, that's a good thing. A number is a good thing. After all, when you get old, they're going to use that number to provide for you. Okay? And after all, when you buy something, they use that number to verify that you are you. I mean, it all sounds good. It all sounds so helpful, right? Like we talked about last week. But you've got a name and you've got a number. And your number is not your name, okay? Now, this beast, this Antichrist, because he comes up through the earth, because he comes up through the sea, because he comes out of the mass of humanity, that's the sea, the mass of the human race, he has a name and he has a number. But this 666, that's his number. It's not the number that he assigns to everybody. It's not the number for an entire government or an entire race or an entire conspiracy of people. It is his number, nobody else's. You've got yours, he's got his. His is 666. Notice in verse number 18, it is the number of a man. One particular man has this number as his number. It's the number of the Antichrist. All right, now, there's so many theories, and that's what they are. And we're just going to look at some of these tonight. Now, none of this stuff from this point forward is really going to be anything biblical, but I'm just going to try to show you how people get bogged down. I mean, Christians get bogged down in this stuff. It takes them away from the important stuff because they get stuck in this other stuff. So we're going to look at something. Maybe you'll enjoy it. Maybe you'll wish you didn't come. I don't know. But first, a little background. Before the invention of figures, you know, by the Arabs in the 10th century, the letters of the alphabet were used for numbers. Okay, those Arabic numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that business of a separate set of characters for numbers as opposed to characters for letters, that system didn't show up till the 10th century. The Arabs are the ones that came up with that. The Greeks, in the time of Homer, or soon after, are thought by some to have assigned to their letters a numerical value corresponding to their order in the alphabet. For example, A was 1 because it was the first in the alphabet. W was 24 in their alphabet because it was the last. It's in this manner that the books of the Iliad and the Odyssey are numbered. Those famous books that you probably may not have ever heard of. I got a copy in my library if you want to read it. Very hard to read. but they were marked that way by Homer himself, they think, or by some person that lived near his time. A system of representing numbers of great antiquity was used by the Greeks, very much resembling that which was afterwards adopted by the Romans. And this consisted of assigning to the initial letter of the name of the number a value equal to the number. For example, X stood for 1,000, Deca stood for 10, etc., etc. So we have decade, 10 years, right? Like that. That's the Roman system. A fellow named Herodotus was a grammarian. He's the only writer of ancient times who has noticed this system. And the chronological table of remarkable events on the Arundelian marbles is the only work that survives in which this method of representing numbers is exhibited. So they're digging up stuff and figuring out the way they used to do things. The system now in use cannot be traced to any ancient source, but what can be proved is this. It was in use, this matter of assigning certain letters to certain numerical values. That system was in use before the time of Jesus Christ and the apostles. Numerical letters denoting the year of the Roman emperor's reign, those exist in great numbers. Also, Egyptian coins use such systems, and you can check these things out on the internet. There's examples there. From the time of Caesar Augustus through the succeeding reigns, we find coins marked 1st, 2nd, 14th, 30th, 35th, 38th, 39th, 40th, 41st, and 42nd years of Augustus Caesar. Those in the 40s would be have that L in there. Then you put an X in front of the L, that gives you 40, right? And then add whatever else you need after that 40. Now, the most common use of this system in our world today, at least in America, I shouldn't say our world, my country, is that great religious festival that's held once a year to worship and celebrate one of the American gods, and that is the Super Bowl. I've put on your handouts there a picture of one of the Super Bowls with those Roman numerals. That every year it's like that. And so you have Super Bowl Roman numeral 1 or Super Bowl Roman numeral 5, Super Bowl Roman numeral XX, what is it, 2020 is going to be what is that? That's, huh? You figure out the Roman numbers. I didn't figure it out. Huh? Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about the Roman numeral for that number. I don't even know what it is. Oh, okay. Anyway, that's the old system of dating. I'm not getting any air up here. It's like an oven up here. All right. Any of you study that Roman system in school? I had to. And you did? You really? Good. And what about you? Yeah? That's good. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, so the only other place it's ever used is at the end of movie credits. You might have noticed. I put an example of that in the handouts, too. That's an Australian film there. you know, this John Wayne film was produced in CLXXVIII. And I don't know why they do that. I don't know the reasoning behind that. Just one of those things, I guess. They think it's cool. Anyway, without getting too bogged down in the history of these practices, we'll just suffice it to say that there were plenty of cultures making use of this system of assigning numbers to letters. And that led to counting the number in names, which was a practice even during the days of the apostles. And I'm not going to bore you with historical people and this writing and that writing, people you never heard of. If you're interested in more details than I can possibly give you tonight, you can probably find it. You can easily look it up on the internet. But what am I saying? I'm saying that in the days of the apostles, the days of the New Testament church, people were, even then, fooling around with this idea of placing letters for numbers and giving numerical values to names and trying to come up with a cute little way of setting forth poetry or literature or swapping names and numbers and trying to put little hidden things in there. Now, we're studying the book of Revelation. I just want to remind you that this is a book that where God is revealing things to us. He's not trying to hide anything. So I don't think he's trying to, I don't think he's asking us to try to figure out who this Antichrist is, what his name is, that he's hidden somehow in this world. I just don't see that. Don't believe that. An Israeli mathematician named Michael Drosnin, he's made a fortune in the last few years by writing a book called The Bible Code, which suggests that God did this with the Bible. He says, if you count every 384th word in Deuteronomy, then skip over to Daniel and count every 210th word, then jump back over to Ruth and count every fourth word, you can find the letters H-T-R, H-T-R. And then you can pretend that that is Adolf Hitler and that God hid that in the Bible. Well, the only problem with all that is that God wrote the Bible to reveal truth. He did not write the Bible to hide it until some unsaved Jew with a computer could figure it out. So I don't get overly excited about all that kind of stuff. Now, if every 32nd letter all the way through the Bible said something, then you might get my attention. You might have something going for you. But you can't jump around and pick a few here, pick a few there, pick a few over there, and then put it all together and say, wow, look what we found. That's not right. That's not fair. And there have been all kinds of studies that have been total failures. There was one man, he ran all of the 316s all the way through the Bible, trying to see what that would reveal to him. You know what it proved? Not much. Not much. So he ran all the chapter 2, verse 4s in the Bible. You know what he got? A lot of chapter 2, verse 4s, and that was about it. Because if something does not work every single time, it doesn't work. So you got to be careful with that stuff. But anyway, this has been going on a long time. And here's the reasoning. This is what they say. Well, Jesus used the Greek language to communicate his message to John. The Greeks used these secret hidden words and names and codes in their language. Therefore, 666 must be a hidden secret Greek name of the beast. Now, there's only a few problems with that. Number one, since you don't have any original manuscript or tape recordings of the revelation, you don't know that God spoke to those guys in Greek. The only way you can prove the original writings were in Greek is to produce those original writings. And they aren't there. There aren't any. You can't do it. They might have been in English. They might have been in Swahili, for all we know. You say, well, there wasn't any such thing, any such languages back then. Okay. Are you telling me that God said, wow, look at that. They just invented English. I think I'll learn that. Now, I'm not saying that the originals were in English or anything else. I'm just saying if you don't have the original manuscripts, you can't say in the original Greek writings. You'll be lying because you don't know that. So stop trying to put people's faith in something that you don't know even existed or not. And it certainly doesn't today. Anyway, the fact that the verse states beyond any question that the name and the number are not the same means nothing to those who are looking in dark places for hidden light. If he's got a name and a number, why waste any time trying to figure out the name according to the number when God told you they weren't the same? But boy, they get a hold of this thing, and here they go. The earliest examples of such treasure hunting can be found in the works of Irenaeus. Man, and this guy, Irenaeus, he wasn't 200 years removed from the apostles. He fiddled around with the numbers and letters until he determined that 666 equaled the empire of the Latins. And the name of the beast game and the find the 666 and the Easter egg hunt was underway after that. J.B. Smith, he wrote, get this one, he wrote, quote, the numerical values were applied in this manner. The first 10 letters of the alphabet increased by units, A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, etc. And then, but that only went up to number 9. From 10 to 19, you have to count by tens. K equals 20, L equals 30, M equals 40. I put this one in your notes, by the way. It's under another system or something like that. And he said, then when you get to 20, you increase by hundreds. T equals 200, U equals 300, so forth. After inventing this method out of thin air, and that's all he did, he just said, I think I'll make it like this. Smith then went on to calculate to his own satisfaction that using the Hebrew form of the name of Nero, the Roman emperor, that he is identified as the beast. He writes, quote, the name Nero Caesar did not occur in Revelation. In fact, it is found nowhere in the New Testament. However, the Hebrew name, Kaiser Neron, is very significant. Had John used the name, he doubtless would have written it with Hebrew endings, as he does other proper names, such as Abaddon, Apollyon, Armageddon. Now, here's what you do. First, you invent a system of letters and numbers out of thin air. Then you say, if John would have thought of this, this is what he would have done when he wrote Revelation. Then, having invented a system of letters and numbers and invented a thought process and applied it to John the Apostle, you come up with this. Here are the values. K equals 100, S is 60. I think I put this chart in your handouts there. R is 200, O is 6, and that's a strange one there, I think. And N is 50. You say, what does that spell? Well, it doesn't spell a thing in the world, but the numbers add up to 666. So what you do is you invent a system of numbers, you match it to a guy's name, you take out all of the letters from that name that would cause the numbers to add up to something that you don't want it to add up to, something other than 666, and then you pretend that this is Kaiser Neron, the Hebrew name for Nero, and that it adds up to 666, and woo, there's your Antichrist. Aren't you glad he's dead and gone 1,900 years ago? Let me give you another one. Here's the favorite among those in the early 1900s. You make the letter A 100. You say, why do you start there? Well, here's what you do. You figure out what you want it to add up to, and then you work your way back. So you make A 100, B 101, C 102, all the way up. And here's what you find. Hitler. Hitler. Because H is 107, I is 108, T 119, L 111, E 104, R 117. Add those all up, you get 666. Hitler's the Antichrist. Okay. What does it prove? Proves Johann Hitler the shoemaker in Denmark was the Antichrist. You think Adolf Hitler was the only guy in the world named Hitler? I mean, so you made Hitler add up to 666. You're telling me that he's the only guy that ever lived with that name? Well, but it sells books. It sells books. Here's another one. 666. This one was real popular a few years ago. If you write the president, Ronald Wilson Reagan, you count the characters in each of those three names, they all have six characters, so voila, there he is, the Antichrist. And here's the one that's most popular today. You start by making A 49, of all things. B would be 50, C would be 51, and guess how much Donald Trump adds up to under that system. But you got to make sure you don't add in his middle name, of course, or initial or any, just make Donald Trump. And you see there with that system, Donald Trump adds up to 666. I checked my name. No matter what system I used, I couldn't get 666. You say, what did they choose? You know, why did they choose to start with that number 49 then? Because that's the system that made it what they wanted. That's what made it work. Okay? No other reason than that. And then you got the one that Hal Lindsey made a fortune off of, and then so did Salem Kerbin. And what the shame is that Hal Lindsey, he sold all those books, and then Salem Kerbin rewrote the very same books, and the same people bought the same books. But they point out that there are 18 lines in the Universal Product Code, that barcode you find on your groceries, And I try to count them based on, I looked up several of them. I don't count them right, I guess. I don't count 18 lines, but he says there's 18 lines in that UPC code, and there's 6 lines, and then there's a little empty space, then there's 6 more lines and an empty space and 6 more lines, and there you have it, the mark of the beast. But here's the only trouble, besides the fact that I can't count what he's trying to say there. the problem is you go along naming the beast, and then all of a sudden this thing comes out and you make that the mark of the beast, and then you say, no, that's not the mark, that's the name of the beast. And how do you pronounce that name in barcode? I mean, I don't speak UPC, universal product code. That was supposed to be the mark of the beast for a long time. Then here's a good trick. Let me show you this one. This is real popular with Protestants. Anybody here a Protestant? If you are, you need to get out of that and get in the Bible. Here's a good one. They say you take all the Roman numerals, all of them, D, which is worth 500, C is 100, L is 50, X is 10, V is 5, and I is 1. And lo and behold, you add them all up, and you get 666. And that is supposed to prove that the Pope at Rome has got to be the Antichrist, because all the Roman numerals add up to 666. However, again, the only way you can do that is to leave out which letter? M, which is worth 1,000. So we just get rid, we'll just pretend that one doesn't exist. They're dishonest. They're dishonest. They have a good time, but they're lying to you. All right, and then listen to this one. You get a blessing out of this. Frederick Dunning, he wrote in the Christian Century in 1924 an amazing article. Quote, "The riddle has puzzled the minds of Bible students for centuries. But when the Ku Klux Klan is used as the key, it becomes as simple as child's play." Y'all know what the Ku Klux Klan is? Yes, okay. Just want to make sure. So he said, this will make it easy for us. He says, let us start with the magic letters KKK with their proper punctuation marks. Webster tells us that multiplication is often expressed by a dot between the factors. Thus, K period, K period, K period really means K times K times K. Well, the numerical value of K is 11, as it is the 11th letter of both the English and the Hebrew alphabets. Now, it's not the 11th letter of the Arabic alphabet or the Filipino alphabet or anything else, but I guess that's okay, because you're probably not trying to sell books to Arabs and Filipinos. You're trying to sell books to people whose first language is English. He says, submitting this value for K, we have K times K times K, 11 times 11 times 11 equals, are you ready, 1,331. That doesn't look like 666 to me. No problem. We can make this work. This is the simple numerical value of K period, K period, K period, but there's one lacking. The founder and first head of the KKK has been cast out and must be restored before we have the perfect symbol of the Ku Klux Klan. Adding the lost one, we have 1331 plus 1 equals 1332. There's the KKK with its original founder restored. This is the perfect numerical value of the Ku Klux Klan. The number 18 in verse 18, however, is the number of the beast. While in the chapter as a who, Ku Klux Klan is represented by two beasts, namely the dynasty of William Joseph, King of Klu, K-L-U, and the beast that looked like a lamb but spake as a dragon, representing the dynasty of Hiram, King of Klan, K-L-A-N. Therefore, to get the number of the beast, we must divide the Klu from the Klan. And when you cut the Klu and the Klan in half, you come up with 666. And who could ever doubt that the Ku Klux Klan is indeed the Antichrist? It makes perfect sense. I'd like to see the people that fell for that one. J.B. Smith weighs in yet again with another gem. He says all numerals from 1 to 36, if you add them all up, they total 666. And the word beast in an evil sense occurs 36 times in Revelation. The Hebrew letters for Nero Caesar, Neron Caesar, all of a sudden he's got a new Hebrew name this time. They add up to 666. And there's a legend that Nero would reappear in the east after his apparent death. So it's most likely that the resurrected Nero Caesar is waiting somewhere in hiding for the day and hour of his appearing as the beast. This guy, he's been waiting a long time. Peter Bungus, who lived in the days of Martin Luther, wrote a book on numerology, almost 700 pages long, and he wrote it by hand. Most of the work was devoted to the number 666, and his conclusion, Martin Luther is the Antichrist. In reply, Martin Luther wrote a book on 666, and he said that 666 was the length of the papal regime. And when pressed and asked if it was 666 days, months, or years, he didn't come up with an answer. He just said, "You'll find out." Michael Stifel, S-T-I-F-E-L, he was a German professor of algebra in the 16th century. He said 666 identified Pope Leo X. In July 1903 issue of Things to Come, we have this. The great significance of the number is seen when we remember that the secret symbol of the ancient pagan mysteries was SSS, or 666. And we'll come back to that one. I think you'll find that interesting. But I'll show you something about that. Before I do, let me show you how easy it is to come up with one of these systems of your own. Brother Bob is going to identify the Antichrist for you. I'll tell you who it is. I got it all figured out. Believe me. All right. Well, here's my system. John F. period. Don't forget the period. Kennedy. That adds up to 121 and a half. Okay. So my system is A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, D is 4, and any punctuation marks, periods, commas, anything I throw in there, that's going to be worth one half of a point. Okay. So John F. period Kennedy. That adds up to 121 and a half. Vietnam War. You add those up under my system, that adds up to 116. Dallas, comma, half a point there. Texas, comma, throw another one in. That adds up to 119. And November, that's worth 22. 22, okay, comma. that's 22 and a half. 19, that's 19. 63, that's 63. That adds up to 553 altogether. So, well, we need a little bit more. Okay, how about the word conspiracy? Let's try that one. That adds up to 113 points. It works. There you have it. 666. They faked the assassination. They snuck Kennedy down into Argentina. Onassis picked him up on the yacht. And that deadly wound, you all saw it. It was on TV. Got his brains blown out. But they healed that fella down there in South Africa or South America, and he's sitting on Jackie Onassis's yacht just waiting to come into power as the Antichrist. It's John F. Kennedy out of Argentina. That's why all those Nazis all went down there into Argentina to set that whole thing up for JFK. And that's why those people over there in Israel don't like those South Americans, because they know Johnny's down there somewhere waiting to take over the world. You say that's ridiculous, Brother Bob. Not any more ridiculous than the ones we've been looking at that people made a lot of money selling books about. Okay, I'm just trying to show you how easy it is. You can create your own universe if you just say this means this, this means that, and you add this here, you add that there, and you can come up with anything you want. Now, there is an Antichrist coming. He will have a mark. It's a black spot. He'll have a number. It is 666, and his name is so insignificant that God didn't even put it in the Bible. And the church is going to get raptured out before he ever shows up. Now, this letter number system, the Greeks, when they were using the secret symbol for their ancient and pagan mysteries, and this runs all the way back to Babylon, the number six, or the letter S for the number six, they wrote it like a, they made it look like a snake. I put a couple of snake S's there for you in your handouts. It's called a stigma, but they changed it and made it look more like a lightning bolt. And so they call it a stigma. That, you know what the word stigma means? It means a mark. To mark. Especially the mark made by a brand as burnt upon a cattle or slaves. They say, well, you know, you would say something like, well, you know, there's a real stigma about that thing. That guy's got a real stigma about him. That place has a real stigma attached to it. Okay? People use that word all the time. They don't know what it means. But when that thing showed up in the ancient mysteries, it was, they connected those S's until it looked like a snake. And they did that in the worship of Isis, the female deity, the queen of the universe, during that time. They connected three of those together to make it resemble a serpent. That's the secret symbol of the old mysteries. And fugitive Greek and Roman slaves, when they were recaptured, they had that symbol branded on their forehead. The term stigma is used to this day for something with an evil connotation, an evil meaning. In the 20th century, the stigma began to emerge from the shadows as a line of demarcation between the occult and the rest of the world. It burst on the scene in Western culture when Adolf Hitler's stormtroopers put stigma on the lapels of their uniforms. That's when that thing showed up. The SS were the elite corps of men who were used to seek out and kill Jews. It's kind of interesting that they would pick that symbol. Now, some of us, we grew up in the rock and roll days. And I don't mean the 50s. That was what we refer to as the doo-wop days. And, you know, during the 50s, they were just trying to get that rock and roll stuff started. But Some of us grew up in the 60s and 70s, back when you could hear just about anything on the radio. Nowadays, you turn on the radio, it all sounds the same to me. I don't care what station you put it on. It's the same stuff. They just change the beat a little, but it's the same stuff. But there was all kinds of stuff out in the 60s and 70s. And you had a fella come out by the name of Ozzy Osbourne. You ever heard of him? Ozzy Osbourne. And he was also known as the Prince of Darkness. That's what they called him. He was kind of the Dennis Rodman of his day, biting bats' heads off on stage. It's that kind of weird stuff, just to show you what kind of an artist he was, I guess. He started a little band called Black Sabbath, and they wrote that S just like that lightning bolt. You can see that in your notes, I think. I put a little bit. I know it's real small there, but I've got a bigger one for you I can show you. Well, let me go a little bit farther first. You'll see. So they wrote that S in Black Sabbath like a lightning bolt. And you know why? Because they were Satanists. A lot of them were and are. They even had an album titled Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. And they actually had 666 right in the middle of that album cover. And they invoked unclean spirits to possess their music and prayed to Satan that their music would be used to gain followers for Satan. And of course, I told you, I've been telling you all along, this is all this Antichrist business. It's a religious business. Sabbath, Black Sabbath. That's a religious thing. Then there was a band called AC/DC, which is code name for being a homosexual, by the way. If you're AC/DC, you go both ways, I guess. And in the midst of that AC/DC, right, you would, now you might be picturing in your mind AC/DC. Well, their slash is, guess what? A lightning bolt. Yeah. They put that stigma in there because in the center of everything that they did, it was satanic worship. And do you know where they made their first millions and rose to fame and popularity? They put out a record called We Sold Our Soul to Rock and Roll. Well, no, you didn't. You sold your soul to the devil, and now you're on the highway to hell. That was another one of their songs. And then you had a kind of a little gay boy show up, kind of a he-she fella. And this was back before it was popular to be one. And his name was David Bowie. You heard of him? Yes? I bet Joshua hadn't ever heard of him. David Bowie? No? No? Good. 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 All right. Well, anyway, David Bowie came out with a record, and he called it Aladdin. Aladdin, you know, kind of like the lamp, Aladdin's lamp. But he called it Aladdin Sane, S-A-N-E, meaning a lad insane, a crazy boy. And on the cover of that thing, it had that fella lying there dressed up like a tutti-frutti little, I mean, just a, like, fruity, you know? Anyway, I mean, so fruity that little Richard was probably embarrassed when he saw the picture. And right across the front of his face, he had that stigma, okay, covered his whole face. Got a picture of him right here for you. I'll show you in a minute. And, now all these young punks, all they were doing was just trying to be cute, trying to be outrageous, trying to throw a little shock factor in things, you know, shock people. And they didn't know that they were just deceived by the devil. Some of you used to buy records by a bunch of fellows that called themselves KISS. How about that one? What did those S's look like in their name? It was two stigmas, right? K-I-S-S. Okay, and you know why they didn't use a normal S in their name? Why they put that stigma in there? Somebody asked them what that group name meant. What does KISS mean? Why'd you name your group KISS? It means King in Satan's Service. And who could doubt it? I believe that. I believe they were. Now, we need to tell our young people when they see that thing in the jewelry store, that lightning bolt thing, or on the surf in the surf shop, that's not a surfer symbol. That comes out of the Babylonian religions 2,000 or more years before Jesus Christ. And it has to do with the worship of Satan. Now, the fact that you don't know that when you buy the necklace, that doesn't change anything. That has to do with the worship of Satan. That's what it is. Jesus said, "I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven." And in every culture, when the primitive peoples or the little kiddies begin to learn to draw, that's how they draw a bolt of lightning. They draw it just like that, stigma. Now, Satan has fallen from the third heaven to the second heaven. And I got news for you. He's going to fall from the second heaven down to earth. Let me show you these pictures while I go. There's David Bowie with the stigma across his face. And there's the KISS. And there's that stigma symbol a little bit bigger. Of course, I'll leave this where you can see it later. But Satan, he's going to fall down to this earth. And it won't be long. It's coming. He may even be here. And the reason I say that is all this imagery we've seen, all this emphasis that was so popular in our culture 20, 30 years ago in the rock music in the 60s and all that. Did you ever notice that all that stuff just kind of faded away? It's not hip anymore. It's not popular. It's not exciting anymore. It's not novel anymore. It's almost like the job was done. Looks like the work was accomplished, so move on to the next stage. All right, I'll show you one more before we finish. Get this one ready. You all know what a cross looks like. You see them behind the pulpit in a lot of churches, the cross. And whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, or like the way people use it or not, that cross has been a long-standing, universally understood symbol for the Christian faith. And when a person joins a satanic cult or a satanic organization, part of the initiation is that they are to take a cross, turn that cross upside down, And that shows that they have reversed their allegiance. And then that's not enough yet. Then they got to denounce Jesus Christ. So to do that, they break that cross, that upside down cross, and that dumb thing that the hippies in the 60s thought was a peace sign is nothing more than a testimony of allegiance to the first rebel who rose up against God's authority and order, Satan. Okay, see, all that is an upside down cross that's been broken. They thought that was a peace sign. And if you take, by the way, if you take a look at the next time you're in a big high class Protestant church or your local Roman outfit, you, believe it or not, you'll see that symbol on the back of the robe of some of the priests and their garments. Just thought I'd mention that. If you don't believe me, just get out there, have a little adventure in your life. Check it out. See if I'm lying to you. It's a strange world out there. I mean, picture it, man. Here's a fella, he's standing in a building. Right up yonder is a cross. But standing between you and that cross is an upside down broken cross right across that guy's back. And he turns around and says, I've got God right here in my hand. Come and get him. You better watch out. Better watch out. We've been saying all the way through this 13th chapter of Revelation that this thing is religious. It is religious. So anyway, we'll stop here. I don't know who the Antichrist is, and I don't care because I'm leaving. And I know what his number is, and I know what his mark is, and I've read all kinds of wild and crazy ideas about what that number means, what people think it means, and I've just showed you a few of them. But I wouldn't worry about any of those. I wouldn't waste any time with any of those. I feel bad for wasting the time I did trying to put this thing together for you tonight, so you don't have to waste any time on it. But I wouldn't take any of those guess systems to heart, because when God's ready to reveal this man, he will reveal him. But he's going to do something before that. Before that, he's going to sound a trumpet. He's going to shout with the voice of the archangel. And those of us that know Jesus Christ as their Savior will rise up to meet the Lord in the air. And the rock and roll boys and the peaceniks, they can do whatever they want to do, because I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for helping us to not get deceived by the devil's work all around us. I thank you, Lord, for keeping our young people in our church safe from the wickedness that's out there in the world. I pray, Lord, you'd continue to protect them and guard them from Satan and his deceitful ways. We pray, Lord, for all the members of our church, Lord, to stick to your word, to have a desire to know your word so that they can, if they have any questions, they know that's where they can find the answers. Help us, Lord, not to look to the wisdom of this world, the world's ways. But Lord, this world is really so far from your truth, Lord. Help us to see the error when it's presented to us, so that we can just rejoice in the fact that we know your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.